Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. We're going to open up the phone lines at 877-881-1053 here in 20 minutes for a very special segment that we like to call...
Tell us what you're thinking.
And then you can weigh in on Zeke, on Dak, on Cowboys, the NFL, whatever. Light your sports take on fire. We'll do that in 20 minutes. You can always
text us. Let's go back to the phone.
Hold on, Shannon. We're doing that in 20 minutes, but you can text us at 877-881-1053. Someone's like, hey, did you guys see Dirk's tweet? Because they were just showing it a second ago on the NFL Network. Pretty great. Dirk arrived back at the airport the same time Zeke did, and he made a joke about seeing all the cameras and being like, man, I still got it. and he realized Zeke is there.
Did you notice the ice cream wait?
No. By the way, Dirk's charity tennis event is coming up here, not this weekend, but next.
All right.
September the 15th. Would love to. Me and Ben host that bad boy every year. Would love to see you out there for that. All right, let's get some NFL music going, Shippy, if you
all
don't
right.
mind.
Oh, I don't.
And hand it over to Tizzle and let him pound it up in between the tackles.
Mike Sando of The Athletic with a good article. As NFL gets going tomorrow night, Packers and Bears. And the article is titled, NFL Executives on What All 32 Teams Should Worry About Entering the Season.
Okay, I like this. Like the thing that could kind of derail their stuff.
Yeah, and I would also like to send everyone to 1053thefan.com. I wrote an article with some of my favorite week one matchups.
Like it.
Some fun nuggets on Phillip Rivers and how often he likes to reproduce and things like that. So it's great.
And speaking of nuggets, KT, don't eat nuggets. Eat real wings and join us at Pluckers tomorrow. We're at the Addison location doing the show from 10 to 2. We were at the Dallas location last week over there off Lovers in Greenville. Tomorrow in Addison, we had a great crowd last week. I'd love to top it this week. So all our folks that kind of work in the Addison area or nearby, right there off the tollway, join us at Pluckers. And we'll get our grub on tomorrow. We'll be there from 10 to 2.
And Friday as well, we'll be at the Eagle's Nest out in Fort Worth.
Cool.
So the 817 off Boat Club Road.
Cool.
Get ready for some lunch with Ben and Skin 10 to 2 on Friday.
Yep.
So in this article, it's executives and what they're worried about for each team. Would you like to start with the division first before we get into some other NFC teams?
Absolutely.
Well, let's start with the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, I think everyone kind of, I personally think they are a perennial NFC contender. I truly believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Looked at some of the things they've done. I believe that. The worry. Carson Wentz's availability is the obvious one.
Duh.
As one executive says, can the quarterback play the way he did 2 years ago and stay healthy? Or does he have to alter his game? Is that good enough to compete? The other worry would be age and injury factors for guys such as Jason Peters, Fletcher Cox, Jason Kelsey, Malcolm Jenkins, Rodney McLeon, Ronald Darby coming off injury. They do have a lot of as we would call here, Blue Star specials. I guess we'd call them Greenbird specials.
Blue Shoe specials?
Yeah. So it's very interesting. I think that's a good point that executive makes, though. Carson Wentz is better when he can make plays with his feet. When he's a statue and he can't make plays with his feet, he becomes a very limited quarterback sometimes. So I think that's a fair concern for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, I didn't realize that, we've been focusing a lot on Carson Wentz. I didn't realize that there was injuries with some of those other dudes that were concerns. But
well, the other concern is that their entire offensive line just showed up in the ESPN The Body issue. All five of them just
ripped,
full nude, taking pics.
That's crazy.
Horny.
So his history of injuries, what do you guys have a good handle on what they've been?
Knee stuff.
Always knee. I know he broke a rib at one point, right?
So
he broke his wrist.
The injury that he had, I believe, his
ribs,
second year
here
was
it is.
Knee stuff.
So in 2015, broke a bone in his throwing wrist. 2016, suffered a hairline fracture in his ribs. 2017, grade 3 tear of the ACL and LCL. Missed the remainder of the season. December 12, 2018, he has back spasms that force him to miss the rest of the 2018 season.
And remember last year there was talk about those back injuries being far more severe.
It was vertebrae.
That that hand injury, Ben, I believe that was in college too, right? 2015?
That was 2015, yes. And he was 2016 draft.
Yeah, so he's had a litany of injuries.
According to Sports Injury Predictor, Carson Wentz's chance of injury in 2019. And chance means that you miss at least two quarters. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Two quarters of one game?
Yeah.
Huh.
40%. That's a high percentage, right?
Wait,
for your quarterback.
That he'll miss how?
At least two quarters.
Of every game?
No, just in general.
That he'll miss two quarters during the season out of 16 games?
Yeah.
So not 40%. Not half of the season.
He'll miss 1/32nd of the season is what they're saying.
Which, dude, for your quarterback that you're paying, you need him playing 16. That's what my quarterback does. Just saying.
You need him playing 16 quarters?
It's interesting because you think about the Wentz running. He is more effective when he can run, and he's really a pretty good runner. He's surprisingly athletic. But he is susceptible to some big hits if he's doing that. But that's all the more reason for Dak also to not run so much.
Right.
Bootleg.
They've got him projected to miss 1.2 games in 2019 on Sports Injury Predictor. It's kind of interesting.
Wait, two games?
1.2 games.
Okay, that's so, more than two quarters.
Well, no, that's a whole different metric, though.
Oh, okay.
Chance of injury is, they define that injury as missing two quarters of play.
Okay.
Missing a half of football.
Okay.
That's just how they look at it.
Screw them.
Let's go to the Giants' worries as we take on them on Sunday. Tomorrow, I would like to maybe break out a few preparation nuggets. I've got some stuff on the Giants that I think is highly interesting that you guys would like. The worry from this executive in this piece on The Athletic is there's pressure to play Daniel Jones early and the Giants won't have enough talent to support it. The executive says their biggest battle is dealing with the now, but planning for the future at the same time. Will they overuse Saquon Barkley now? That would be another fear that they just wear him down when they're not ready to win.
God, that's a great... You know what they really need to do?
Trade him.
No. I just think they need to roll out Eli for as much of the season as possible and treat it like it's a tank scenario. And I know that's an inglorious way to go out with a guy who's won two Super Bowls. But it's not that dissimilar than what the Dolphins are doing, although the Giants have way more talent. But if the Dolphins were like, hey, we believe in Rosen, let's develop him, they'd put him out there. And instead they're like, let's keep losing and let Fitzmagic get the crap beat out of him and let's kind of preserve Rosen. I mean, the Giants could be developing Jones, but it's like, it's not going to move the needle. Let's not let him get beat up. Eli, thanks, buddy. You're doing a great job there. Let's let you just get destroyed until your career is over.
I'm not that in touch with Eli Manning and really what he's saying and how he's feeling and what he's talking about. I don't really have a good handle on that. But I wonder why he wants this. Is Eli Manning looking at this going, man, I'm about to be done with playing. I want to get the most I can out of it. I think we'll surprise some people. I think we can... Or does he realize, oh my God, we're a dumpster fire. They've got my replacement behind me. I'm going to get murdered. Why is he going through this?
Why not
go somewhere else? If you really do want to play, why not work your way out of there to a team that has a chance to win? Or do you weigh that against, hey, I'm a legend in New York. Why would I leave here?
Yeah, and so there's a lot of things at play there. Those are great questions. One thing I think about, and I'm not going to pretend to know what Eli is thinking, but I do know that he's way down with Daniel Jones. And I do know that he likes the idea. He's positioning himself, and Daniel Jones has been saying the right things of, you're the heir apparent, and I'm going to groom you to take my throne. I mean, that's the way it's being presented, and Daniel Jones obviously had ties to those Manning quarterback camps and all those sorts of things, and Eli has signed off on him, and the Manning family has signed off on him. So it does make Eli look really good. He's still making a crap ton of money, right? $20 million or something. And he's going to spend his whole career as a New York Giant.
Sure.
And not only that, a New York Giant that delivered Super Bowl rings. So, I mean, he knows they're not going to be good, but it really does put him in a position to look like he's the ultimate team guy to groom his heir apparent, and it's a guy that he has a relationship with and likes.
And the whole one team, one uniform thing comes into play maybe a little bit.
Thought about the Romo thing.
He's probably just going, you know what? I love football. I don't want to do anything else. I don't want this to be over. I'm going to hang on for dear life.
Is he getting a ton of money? Probably
22 or I'll pull that up.
I bet he's there in the kind of low 20 area.
Oh,
that's going to make a lot of sense.
That's why he's doing it.
That's good dough.
Yeah, pretty smart, actually.
Good dough to take a knee.
Washington, the concerns for them, according to an executive in this piece from Mike Sando. My biggest concern is they don't have a general manager with a successful track record in personnel, and the roster suffers in quality as a result. You need someone else running the ship if the Redskins want to go to the next level. I don't know if their owner wants to do that. This is set up for long-term failure. If I were another team, I'd consider hiring Jay Gruden as a head coach and pairing him with a really good GM. There's your concern for Washington.
Man, I was looking at this today because I was doing reading on the old, the reasons for the 30% rule and all that. So do you guys realize that year that the, I think it was 2010, that year that the Cowboys got slapped on the wrist for the way they handled the Miles Austin deal? I think their number that they got slapped on the wrist was $12 million. The Redskins was $36
million. Oh, my God.
They got so we are talking about decades of ineptitude. Basically, since Daniel Snyder bought that team, it has been one suck after another. And the one thing that they got right was RG3, and they beat him into submission so fast that they screwed that up, too. And then they alienated Kirk Cousins. I mean, it has been just one horrible decision after another. They are eons away from being a consistently decent franchise.
Who's their best player?
Josh Norman.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they also signed Landon Collins. You know, so the secondary could be okay.
Dude, their young quarterback might be pretty good.
I think they should let him start. If I was Jay Gruden, I wouldn't let my fate be sealed by Case Keenum. I'd try to go win with the rookie and have a little spark. But I get the vibe Jay Gruden probably doesn't care if he keeps his job or not. Like, I'm sure he wants to win, but I get the vibe he knows it's kind of, we're screwed here. I feel like the communication's real bad there, things like that. Want to take a look at some of the other NFC teams, like the LA Rams, the team that beat us last year.
Yeah.
The worry from this executive is that the offensive line and Todd Gurley aren't quite as good, leading to regression on offense.
Touchdown, Rams!
He says, every offense gets exposed to some degree when they're playing from behind. But it's exaggerated with that offense because they are so reliant on play action and their offensive tackles don't have quick feet. We saw that in the Super Bowl. You get behind, they can't catch up because everything's relying on play action. I think that's fascinating. I saw a great tweet earlier from a guy, and this is the other Zeke argument, the other one that I'm really not on that side right now. But is, hey, if you sit there and watch C.J. Anderson come in, why in the world would you pay a running back? Why in the world? They drafted Darrell Henderson in the third round. They're going to use him. They're going to throw it to him. They're going to load manage Todd Gurley. It's going to look like a bad contract, but I think it's just, that's the best point ever against the Zeke deal is C.J. Anderson just came in here, dude. Just find someone. Just draft someone.
Yeah, I think a big part of that, too. I mean, obviously he had some success against other teams. I keep going back to why the Cowboys lost. I mean, why their season came to an end. They got shredded. Mm-hmm. That defense that we're all so high on got obliterated. And after the game, wasn't Jerry talking about they needed different cleats?
That was bad.
And they ran, a fat running back ran up the gut and crushed them.
You know, they don't change a lot of what they do up front.
Gurley even had 100 in that game, didn't he? Running backs had 100. Arm.
So talking to the other night in the Cowboy Hours, Malik Collins and Antoine Woods, and Malik Collins said the one thing that's different from this offseason and last and of years past, he said, I'm 100% healthy. I've never been that way in the NFL.
Yeah, he's always had foot problems.
So you know what they've done? Some of those guys, we saw those videos of the sand. So they got with this guy, Brandon Jordan, this offseason workout guy, and they were in the sand pit doing drills with him because they're doing like 3 days a week. And Tank was there for some of it, and Antoine Woods was there for some of it. And a lot of those videos went viral. But they're doing sand pit drills because you're going to do all these offseason workouts. It's taking wear and tear off your feet. By working in the sand, you're not banging against the hard ground.
Interesting.
And shocking your leg. And I thought that was a pretty cool thing that they had come up with that they were doing. And maybe teams have been doing that for years, but it's the first time I've ever heard the Cowboys doing that. So I thought that was an interesting thing. Like, here they are. They're just going to work on that. And now Malik Collins is 100% healthy. He may be a guy after the year where we're going, guys, should we franchise him?
Who, Malik Collins?
He might be.
How can you're going to have a line of guys you need to franchise, right?
What?
They need to franchise Dak at that point.
The other question that came up at the Cowboy Hour that was interesting, and I'm really just coming up on the fly, so I would have pulled the audio if I thought of it, but we're asking about, what about Tristan Hill's hot boy status, all right? Because Antoine and Malik are both hot boys. And when you asked about Tristan Hill's hot boy status, they both just kind of laughed. Like, what a stupid question. You think he's ready to be a hot boy?
They laughed.
Oh, homeboy's got a long way to go.
That's awesome.
They sat there and laughed. They were like, no, man, no. And that's on the heels of DeMarcus Lawrence calling him Fat Winnie the Pooh with dreads. So, you know, we sit there and Tristan Hill gets drafted. and you're going, this is probably Malik Collins' replacement. What if Malik Collins, quote, balls out?
What does it mean to ball out, have balls out? It's offensive.
Quote, I don't understand.
Yeah. What do you mean out? By balls being
well,
out?
Well, then you're going, am I going to franchise Byron? Am I going to franchise Malik? Am I going to franchise Amari Cooper? Mm-hmm. Could I be franchising Dak? Who am I going to franchise? There's another candidate that's in that boat, and they can choose.
Yeah.
And the whole point of it is they could always choose who they wanted to keep, and they chose Zeke. Other teams might not have chose Zeke. They chose to do this.
They also chose to draft him with a top five pick
Hell
and give
yeah.
him the ball 47.8% of the time.
Their choice.
All right, it's Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan.
You like Andy Reid?
That's a fair question. Coming up next, it's a chance for you to call in and tell us what you're thinking. Here's the deal. We're going to open up the phones. If you want to be on the radio today, well, this is your lucky segment. 877-881-1053 is the number. 877-881-1053. Call in right now. All of our phone lines are open. So right now, nobody on hold. You could be the first caller at 877-881-1053. Call in and tell us what's on your mind. If you
tell us what you're thinking.
Don't ask us how we're doing. Turn your radio all the way down. Be succinct. Get right to the point and tell us whatever you're thinking. It could be about sports. It could be non-sports. It could be anything you want. The phone lines are open for you to call in and tell us what you're thinking. 877-881-1053. That's the number. Call in right now, and you'll be on the radio with us next. Thanks, Shippy. It's a Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. We've opened up the phone lines. We want to hear from you. We've talked about it all day long. Zeke gets his deal. It's a six-year extension, $90 million on the 6 years of extension, $15 million per year over those 6 years, if you want to look at it that. Like that, $50 million guaranteed. It's a overall, if you include the final 2 years of his deal, it's an 8-year, $103 million contract and $0.5 million per year over the course of it all, over the 8 years in total. Lots of people want to weigh in on this. We've opened up the phones. We're welcoming you on 877-881-1053. It's a little segment we like to call.
Tell us what you're thinking.
And with more on that, here's Kevin KT Turner.
Before we get to the calls, a quick update. Todd Archer reporting the Cowboys will save $1.6 million in cap room this season.
After the Zeke deal?
Zeke's getting a signing bonus of $7.5 million just handed to him.
Hmm.
The base salary will be $752,000 this year.
So they lowered it.
Elliott's old cap number was 7.9. It will now be 6.3. So the Cowboys save a little money on the cap. Again, that's still, it's a little bit of something, but it's not enough to know what the full structure of the deal will be. And that, again, just hasn't been reported yet.
Man, with that salary, with that signing bonus number, though, it makes me think that it's more of a rounded number for more years.
Yeah.
That's a preliminary indication would be.
You get the feeling that Zeke's got a pretty good little deal here for himself.
Yeah.
Let's go to line one, Shippy. Garrett and Irving. Garrett,
tell us what you're thinking.
Hey, guys. I was just wondering, what do y'all think Vegas odds are going to jump with Zeke coming back to the Cowboys for Cowboys to go to the Super Bowl?
I bet they don't move at all.
I would bet that people in Vegas felt pretty assured that he would be here, at least, if not for the start of the season and for week one, then for sure over the course of the season at some point, and the Cowboys wouldn't be in the playoffs without Zeke, so I doubt it would be that. It affected that much.
They may have to move it if there's a giant shift in consumer confidence.
Yeah.
And suddenly all this money comes in on the boys and they would start moving that line. But I don't think they're going to have to manipulate the line to get movement.
On a smaller scale, this week's line has not changed. Still 7 points.
Yeah.
Let's go to line eight, Trevor in Saginaw. Trevor,
tell us what you're thinking.
So I was just really want to see like how – without a Zeke, how we could go with Tony Pollard. Because, you know, during preseason, I know preseason really don't matter much, but he looked really good. And like how y'all were talking about C.J. Anderson, you know, coming, you know, out of nowhere and running all over us in the playoffs, I really think Tony Pollard could just replace Zeke. I mean, I know nothing like to what Zeke does on a day-to-day basis, but he could get us, you know, the short yardage we needed and just open up passing a lot.
Thanks for calling. I just think they would have had to have greatly altered how they approach games. There's no way they could have just used Pollard the way they used Zeke.
Again, they gave the ball to Zeke on 47.8% of their plays last year. Pollard never even was the go-to guy in college. And they don't want him having to pick up blitzes, and to the tune of their fullback, Alawale's going to do it this week if Zeke's not ready to be out there on all third down. So they're not ready at all for Pollard to be that, and I think people should look at Pollard as being a nice compliment and not a guy that could carry the load.
Think about this. In their pre-draft evaluations, they had Mike Weber graded ahead of Tony Pollard, and were led to believe that Tony Pollard was kind of a Kellen Moore special right there.
Mm-hmm.
Slipped to day three. We pick early in round four. That's the guy I want, who I think can add a dynamic to the offense that we don't already have. And when Kellen's picking him out, he's picking him out fully expecting Zeke to be there.
Right.
So that's something I think we should keep in mind when we think about that.
But it also really excites me about the things that Kellen plans on doing.
Now, I heard from a friend that you guys went to Richardson-Berkner High School. Let's go to Mike in Richardson. Mike! Line three.
Tell us what you're thinking.
Hey, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Just want to say I love you guys. I'm loving the time switch. Want to address all the casual listeners. You need to stop playing around because this is the DFW Sports Fix here on this station. They always hold it down. And I just want to say, things got tense with Zeke, but I feel like we're just sky high right now, and we're going to ride that freight train of death all the way to the Super Bowl, baby.
Woo, love that. Freight train of death.
Wow.
Strong.
That sounds like a mid-70s movie that Steve McQueen was in.
Sounds like a type of coffee I'd like to drink.
Line seven, let's go to Lee in South Dallas. Lee!
Tell us what you're thinking.
Yo, what up, boys? How we doing?
What up, mate?
Say, man, freight train of death, huh? That's what's up. I don't know what these guys are thinking. Zeke is literally the engine to this offense. The entire thing is built around Zeke. I'm so glad that man got his money. You know what I'm saying? It makes no sense for someone to think that Tony Pollard, any Pollard, could come in and fill the shoes of Zeke. Makes zero sense. And real fast, I got skin on here while we're on here talking. Mavs are going to be awesome. You know what I'm saying? But I couldn't get this out and say it enough. LeBron James is the man. You know what I'm saying? What? I can't wait for this year in basketball. No cap.
All right. Thanks for the call. By the way, I was just chatting about this yesterday. I just am so giddy about what an incredible year it's going to be in the NBA. There's so many good teams. There's so many good teams. And this whole thing is going to get started with a Cowboys Super Bowl run. The next 5 or 6 months, Ben, are shaping up to be incredible sports good times.
I'm here for it.
From one Ben to another, let's go to Ben and Will's Point. Ben,
tell us what you're thinking.
Yeah, well, I'm all for paying Zeke, you know, but because I have him on my fantasy team. I drafted him fourth overall.
Yeah.
But like I'm not 104 like Jerry. I'm 19. In 10 years, I still got to be a fan of the Cowboys. So they're kind of screwing about, I don't want to watch Zeke walking on a walker in 8 years, you know?
Yeah, you probably wouldn't draft him at that point.
No, I would not.
You guys got an old man fantasy league where it's like just a bunch of former players and you just kind of project what they may do with their walkers?
You're trying to draft the guys who are going to get hurt?
Like, the ultimate keeper league.
There's nothing more 19-year-old. Than calling an 87-year-old man 104. No, he's 77. Sorry, Jerry, 77.
Wow. Oh, my God.
There's nothing more KT than that.
Wow.
It is
unbelievable.
Strange.
Hey, quickly before we go to the next call, Joel Corey, who we've had on the show recently, was on the morning show today. Here's what he said about Todd Archer's report. It says, a $7.5 million signing bonus for Zeke suggests to me a pretty big 2020 salary or the signing option bonus structure for 30% rule compliance. Since 2020 is the final year of CBA, increases in subsequent years are limited to 30% of 2020 salary. So what he's saying is that next year's salary, the 2020 salary, will be pretty big so that they can absorb all of this number and not go up by more than 30%.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at $7.5 million signing bonus, you said that Todd Archer said that the number this year is actually lowered.
Like 6.3, yeah.
Right. So that means it's probably going to be a big number next year, and then they do 30% increases each year.
And then next year you're also going to have 32 mil cap hit on your QB too, or right around that area from the franchise tag.
Oh, dear.
That's why I would have got a deal done with Dakota. If they can, then they still have time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to line 10, Shippy. Travis in Denton. Travis.
Tell us what you're thinking.
Hey, guys, I hate to pull you away from the Cowboys talk, but I was just wondering if you saw the clip of Max Kellerman absolutely swallowing his tongue yesterday, talking about track athletes being failed athletes at other sports.
Yeah, I saw that, and it's garbage take, but isn't that the name of the show? Garbage Take with Max Kellerman. I mean, that's all they do. They're trying to get people to talk about crazy opinions. And that's the whole, it's like people keep jumping off sides. Like, I can't believe you just had a crazy opinion. And I'm like, but the name of the show is Here's a Crazy Opinion.
I saw the reaction to that stuff yesterday. My first thought was that it's equivalent to being really overly reactionary to what a wrestler has done in their storyline. Because they're storylines.
Yeah.
And they're designed to antagonize you. And, you know, a lot of people love doing that. We talk about TV shows. Like, we care about these storylines in these TV shows. It's just overly hype drama. And so if you love getting involved in all that, that's kind of what the job is, to antagonize you. But there's nothing authentic about what any of that show is.
By the way, settled in last night because I was doing a little work on my computer and I didn't want to watch anything new, you know, because I was working, you know.
You didn't want to watch anything nude?
No, new.
Okay.
No, like anything new. Like some of the shows I'm into right now, Succession, some of the things I need to catch up on. Still haven't finished Stranger Things.
I watch some nude stuff.
But while doing work, I don't like to watch TV. I like to focus in and pay attention. So I put on the final episode of season 4 of Breaking Bad. And I'm telling you, man, because I'm planning on rewatching that final season before the movie comes out October 11th.
Why'd you pick that?
Well, I just picked it and I threw it on there.
Was it 5 seasons long in total?
5 seasons long total. Okay.
I thought there was a 6th season. Well, it was 8 episodes.
It was a 5A, 5B. So yeah, okay. Technically was a 6th season.
Okay.
But either way, it's the one where I'm not going to say what happens. But of all the bad stuff that happens, I completely forgot that he took a bomb into a hospital.
Oh, yeah.
It just sat there. Like he took and he drawed his neighbor offsides to go into his house to see if a hitman was in there. His old lady neighbor. He did so many bad things. What a great show.
Great show.
Let's go to line 5, Shippy, James in Dallas. James.
Tell us what you're thinking.
Yes, every day, Tolo. Now that we got my boy Zeke signed, I think that this could be a better version of Seattle if you look at the whole roster. That's all.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Well, you know, Seattle's a team that runs the ball a lot. I hope the Cowboys plan on throwing the ball more than they did last year.
He kind of had a Jerry Jones moment there where he said, that's all?
Yeah.
After the pause?
That's all.
It's pretty great.
We
that's
ain't
it.
Messing around.
No, I see what he's saying, going back to the Marshall Lynch, type Seattle Seahawks. I see all that. I mean, we didn't really get into this too much because we've been talking so much about Zeke, but if this team is a Super Bowl team, I think it's primarily because of their defense than anything else.
God, I heard somebody talking about Marshawn earlier when listening to the Morning Boys, and they were like, just like Marshawn Lynch, he can play forever. They're like, well, he really wasn't good after 28.
Yeah.
It's like, that's the last year he was really good.
Pretty quick.
Yeah.
What does?
Let's go to our friend from the Chocolate Factory, Charlie in Denton. Charlie,
tell us what you're thinking.
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, dude.
What up?
Hey, man.
Hey, so I was chatting with KT on Saturday at the Cornhole Tournament. Awesome event, by the way.
Thanks.
We were talking about the state of UNT football, so I want to get y'all's take on what do we have to do to get a number next to our name. I mean, we got Latrell, we got Fine, we got Bussy, we got a stout defense. I think we got it, but what do we got to do to get that number?
I think win all the games, probably.
It's probably
going to need to go 12-0.
12-0.
It's going to be a part of it.
And then you have to throw your own national championship in Denton because no one else will recognize it.
And chant, we want Bama.
I think Mark Fine's son, though, is going to have a great year out
there. It's not Mark Fine's son. It's Mason Fine, Heisman candidate.
Mark and his son, Mason.
And it's rivalry week, sort of. UNT at SMU Saturday. Oh.
That's always the greatest college football promotion. It's rivalry week, sort of. We have games that kind of matter to these teams. We'll take a look on Saturday.
They play every year.
Are you going? Are you going to be there?
Man, oh, okay. I'm not. Well, fine. Here's the thing. No, I schedule.
No one is more passionate about it than you. And
I'm
like,
going to watch it.
I've still got some shows I need to watch.
No, not on Saturday. I'm not watching shows on
Saturday.
It's
at SMU?
Yeah, yeah.
It's 3 minutes from your house.
Yeah, but then I'm not. Then I have to miss LSU in Texas.
Whenever somebody says,
"Are you passionate about it or not?"
Now I don't know if you know this.
They're gonna stop letting you talk there.
As co-host of the Trust the Tape podcast, you can't just be going college football games willy nilly.
That's what DVRs are for.
You need to have multiple screens. You need to be caught up watching as much CFB as possible.
Dude,
so I'm gonna be watching that game.
No, when it's
while watching LSU Texas.
When it's sort of rivalry week. And the first thing out of your mouth is, well, here's the thing. Come on. What are we doing here?
I'm starting a new smoking podcast called Trust the Vape.
Ooh, I like that.
Can you guys be a part of that?
That sounds lit,
I got a sponsor already.
I'd like a few more years to see the ramifications of the recent technology, but I think I'm in.
I'm starting one on the superhero franchises, Trust the Cape.
Oh, very nice. Oh,
that's
very nice.
That's going to be launched soon on an intercom station
Mine's
near you.
Trust the Gape.
Sir. I would never trust that.
Also, by the way, there's a podcast, and you guys, I don't know if you guys, because we believe in equality, it's a women, female-only podcast called Trust the Drape, and that's going to be getting out there.
Oh, that was the name of my Mad Men podcast. Yeah. Are you sure? I think
I got a new wine podcast called Trust the Grape.
Okay.
Okay, that should be. I got one about financial planning called Trust the Pape.
Yeah, That's good.
Oh, man.
Chippy?
Sports.
All right, coming up next, the G-Bag Nation joins us. We'll find out what's on their presentation today. Thank you, Chippy. It's been in Skin Show 105.3 The Fan. Don't forget, tomorrow we will be doing our show from Pluckers in Addison. And we want you to come join us, so plan your lunch around coming and joining us at Pluckers in Addison. And by all means, go subscribe to the Ben and Skin YouTube channel. It's brand new, Ben and Skin on YouTube. Go subscribe to that bad boy. We'd greatly appreciate it. Making videos for 105.3thefan.com. And we're about to go shoot a new video immediately after the show with old John Price. So we'll get a new video posted up there as quickly as possible. Joining us now in studio, the G-Bag Nation. And General, I know you guys will be talking about this throughout the show, but we got to ask you, who do you think won the negotiation between Zeke and the Cowboys?
You know, that's a great question. I've been thinking about that one all day. And I think if anybody wanted it was Zeke, but I also feel like there was compromise involved. And if Zeke had waited a year or two, you know, even more money would have come. So there was a little bit of a compromise. And, you know, the Cowboys definitely didn't lose in that. They could have ended up giving a lot more money to Zeke. You know, the numbers that no doubt Zeke's people were asking to end up back here after a round of compromising. I think the Cowboys won by not having to go there. And hopefully there's a role player or two that, you know, won't have to hit the chopping block in the future as a result.
Man, I feel Zeke 100% won. And it's just because he had 3 years left on his contract, and he was able to get a 3-year extension after these 2 years are up on his contract. And then there's three team options, which he'll never play on, most likely. He'll either be awesome and sit out and hold out again and say, I'm not playing for you guys because there's no guaranteed money left on this contract, or he won't be good enough anymore, and the Cowboys will Dez Bryant him and say, thank you for your services. Here, we have to pay you $3 million more, and good luck at the end of your career.
I'm going no winner until I know. That's the old, we used to play that game at about 12:30 a.m.
Loved it.
On weeknights.
No
winner. Game called
winner.
No winner.
Man, those listeners were drunk too.
Right. Yeah. Yes. They
all you had to do was to be listening to the segment.
Yes. And no one ever won because no one was ever listening to just hear what the right answers were. Because I don't know yet. Like 6 for 90 is like, that's a good deal. It's a great deal for Zeke, but that also means the Cowboys have 2 other years in there. They get to spread bonuses around in. You may never have a $15 million cap hit, and you may be able to get away from it after 3 or 4 years. We don't know.
The
agent's going to say we have $50 million guaranteed, right?
Right.
New record.
Right.
All right.
And $100 million for a running back that he'll never see.
Is $10 million of that guaranteed on the fifth day of the league year in the fourth year? In other words, after 3 years, I could walk away and not be hurt by it? So, like, I think for Zeke, yeah, with 2 years left to get a big payday, that's nice.
So the thing that's interesting to me, at least, as we're trying to get information, and y'all will be getting more information as your show unfolds, is that if you look at it and go, man, a $7.5 million bonus, and they've actually lowered his base this year, that seems like an indication that next year is going to be a lot, and the year after that's going to be a lot, and the year after that's going to be a lot.
Yeah, but so the extension is 6 for 90. So that's 15 per, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, part of those numbers paid out with the signing bonus.
So what Todd Archer is saying, and then Joel Corey kind of doubled down on that, is
hey, with a $7.5 million bonus, then that's in lowering the salary cap number this year, that's an indication that, wow, there's probably going to need to be a lot of money on the 2020 deal,
right,
because of the 30% rule. So, I mean, I originally thought, all right, would you look at this? I bet the Cowboys are completely out from under this deal 4 years from now when Zeke is 28 years old. I don't know. I'm a little apprehensive about that now after seeing that report. But, until we get all these numbers, we're not
going to. It definitely feels like it could be the Cowboys kind of taking a page from their past as far as their cap management strategy. Like, we got to go for it now. And if it hurts us in 2021 or 2022, so be it. We'll address it when we get there. But it's a way of, you know, getting as many contracts on the roster as possible,
you know,
and if that's their strategy right now to get a little bit more risky, I think it'd be appropriate over the next 2 years, considering how long it's taken them. I would like to believe you can be a windowless team and just keep your championship window open. But, you know, outside of the Patriots, the reality is you're going to have usually a 3 to 5 year window. And they've already kept this son of a gun open 5 years. So if you're thinking, what do we have left, guys, 2 more years? Well, you better throw the damn kitchen sink at winning a Super Bowl if that's all you got. And if you're in cap hell down the road with 1 or 2 players, so be it.
And that's where someone like a third rounder for Jadeveon Clowney would be a lot of fun, right?
Oh, yeah.
If we're throwing the kitchen sink at it, something the Rams would have done.
I think a great example of what Gavin's talking about is the Seattle Seahawks. When they won the championship 43-8, everybody's like, this team might win a whole bunch of Super Bowls, and they should have won another one, but it ended really quickly with a young Russell Wilson, and then he got his money, and the veteran guys either got hurt or old on him, and it happens quickly in sports. As much as, Ben, we talk about 2010, 2011 Rangers, I remember Harold Reynolds and everybody saying how long this was going to last, and by 2013, it was over. And they had to kind of reduce things to have a run in 15 and 16.
It's true. It's like this is a realistic look at things from the Joneses saying, hey, are they going to go for it for 2 or 3 years here? This window's open now. And if they continue to draft well, then, hey, maybe it'll be sustainable, especially if it turns out that your quarterback is super legit. Because, hey, that's what the Patriots have done, right? All right, so in terms of this week, who touches the ball more? Who has more touches, Zeke or Pollard?
Zeke.
Yeah. Yeah, more touches for sure. Maybe it'll be the same number of reps. Is that what we're calling it? Snaps, reps?
I was just thinking carries and receptions.
I just think if it's a close game, and the Cowboys and Giants usually play close games, I don't see how you take Zeke off the field and leave him there throughout the third and fourth quarter if you're down a field goal or even up a field goal.
If it's a close game, it'll be because they gave Zeke the ball too much like they'd love to do, and I'm going to hate this contract for 8 years.
You know, they said that Olawale was going to be the third down back to pick up blitzes and for blocking. They made that announcement, I guess. So who had that?
Slater was reporting that.
She was reporting that.
As of now.
For that to be out, aren't they saying that look, they don't trust Tony Pollard to pick up a blitz.
Yeah.
And if they're saying that, then aren't they cueing the Giants, hey, anytime Pollard's in, we're going to run the ball because we don't trust him to pick up a blitz.
Hey,
for
Scott,
that.
How about we don't keep the back end for the blitz? How about we run right past that linebacker and throw it to the running back?
I remember in training camp early on, Tony Pollard, I wasn't sure if he was a bad blocker or totally disinterested in doing it because I was watching the drills 5 feet away from me, and I'm like, And it could be he didn't know how. And then they're like, no, I need you to then slide 2 steps. And so, like, do it again. And he would hit it and slide 1 step. He's like, I'm done. Like,
really?
I know he didn't say that, but his body language and actually, like, listening to the blocking technique was like, I don't care. I'm not a blocker.
How many times will we see Tony Pollard line up as the only back in the backfield and then go in motion, empty backfield? Because Pollard's a good receiver, lined up at receiver in college.
I would say 4 times.
4 times. I would be very excited if we saw that multiple times.
God, that'd be awesome.
I would too.
What's 6 coming up on the show today, General?
Pure Gold, as always, Ben, thanks so much for asking. Unfortunately, we only have a 3-hour show, and then the Rangers and Yankees are going to finish up in the Bronx with the pregame at 5 o'clock and the first pitch at 5:35. How'd Zeke's dad respond to the re-signing? Or the extension signing, that's coming up at 2:20. We have audio of that before we get into the G-bag of the day. We'll take a look at Cowboys Twitter at 3 o'clock. We're going to be all over the Zeke storyline with as many questions and pieces of analysis as humanly possible.
Awesome. The G-bag Nation's coming up. Want to invite everybody to come join us tomorrow at Pluckers in Addison. We'll do our show from there. We'd love for you guys to come join us and have lunch. So as you make your lunch plans today for tomorrow, make sure you're at Pluckers in Addison. And again, by all means, go subscribe to the Ben and Skin YouTube channel. We appreciate it. Going to go shoot a video for 105.3thefan.com right now. Thanks for listening and be a part of this one. Thanks to Joan and Payroll, the Viemos in Fort Worth, and Samir and the boys downstairs.
Those guys are always whipping up an incredible Zeke contract every time the new season begins.
Coming up next, it's The Nation.
Have an A1 day.